Hey, boys and girls, grab your capes and cowls. It's that time again. Superhero Speak, episode 36. Hey, everyone. Hope you had a great holiday, and welcome to the first episode of 2014. This one's a hostful, but John, Ben, and I sit down and talk about a lot of different comic book news that's come out recently, some rumors, and a lot about Doctor Who, the Christmas episode. So if you haven't seen it, there's a lot of spoilers for the Doctor Who episode in this, so you might want to watch that first before you listen. Also, I will be guesting again on Crisis on Multiple Podcasts tonight, and we will be talking about the great Alan Moore. So if you have a chance, after you listen to this tonight, make sure you check out on YouTube Crisis on Multiple Podcasts. Well, here we go. And welcome to Superhero Speak.
Merry New Year!
What?
That's a Trading Spaces reference.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm your host, Dave.
Trading Places. This is Ben.
And John.
And it's 2014.
Yay! I'm not accepting it.
Yay! Who thought we'd last this long? Yay!
The Mayans didn't.
No. But
very true.
And with all good things, so comes a new doctor.
All good endings bear new beginnings. Correct. Yes, we do have a new doctor.
Oh, and yes, I was right. They going back to our previous conversation, I just wanted to start that again.
Yes,
I'm just you
were right in your geeky pedantic fact finding. You know, and by the way, you being right, Moffat acknowledged in the episode, He had a sort of snide callback to the fans in the sense of when the Doctor was all old and ragged on the bell tower and yelling out, "Don't tell me the rules!"
Yeah, I caught that.
That's what he meant by that.
Yeah, and you know, I may have been right, but normally that wouldn't be the case, except for the fact that Moffat is such a Doctor Who nerd that he would not have let that pass as well. So it goes to show you how nice it is to have a true fan in charge of the series, even if you still hear a lot of people say that he's like Mr. Plot Hole or something.
Right. I don't care how big a fan you are involved in the show. You're still going to get annoyed when everyone's starting to nitpick and ask so many pedantic questions. Like, look, just wait and find out, and it'll all be revealed. And it was.
I think though it's so true that when you have a fan of the helm of anything. I mean, the Avengers is another great example. Whedon is the biggest fanboy on the planet, and, you know, we got an awesome movie out of it, an awesome franchise. So
yes, we did.
Yeah.
And many other things.
So do you guys think it was a, I don't know, kind of a cheat that he got 13 regenerations?
No, I think that they had to find a way to do that anyway. Yeah, there definitely was the need for him to be able to regenerate again, and they had to come up with some explanation to it or some resolution to that. I was, you know, part of me thought that they might find a way to resolve the conflict and actually bring Gallifrey back into the universe, but clearly that didn't pan out. I was a little bit surprised that he managed to get that gift from them. Mm-hmm. But I think someone had pointed out to me that the voice that was, you know, when you heard the question being asked, the voice of that was asking the question was the war general in charge of the, you know, the Gallifreyan armies, who was in bits and pieces of the 50th anniversary special. Mm-hmm. As well as one of the shorts that were, you know, issued on the web. So, and he was definitely someone who sympathized with the Doctor. So it wasn't Rassilon and his council who were sending out the message. It was another party that probably were more favorable, you know, towards the Doctor.
Yeah, and I like it's interesting how they kind of shunted off to the side everything that happened in the End of Time episode. You know, the war leader walks into the war room and he says, "Well, what about the council? Oh, they're busy with other plans." Well, now we know what those other plans were, and, you know, the Doctor, the reason why he, according to, you know, canon now, the reason why he didn't let Gallifrey back the first time was because supposedly his entire race had gone insane. But now we know not the case, so...
Right.
It's,
at that point, they seemed insane because Rassilon was at the helm, and he is kind of nuts. But he wasn't necessarily representative of his people. And at the time, they needed to send them back because having them in orbit with Earth was detrimental. So, however, you know, there's still a chance that Gallifrey could come back in the future in a more amicable manner.
I don't think they can. I think there's. There's too much the Doctor could get out of just by calling home and saying, hey, you remember when I saved the entire race? Do this for me. I don't think they can really bring it back. He might be able to visit. I mean, now that they're in a pocket universe and they seem to be ambulatory and, you know, not stuck in a time lock.
Yeah.
Now the barriers between universes. Yeah, he may be able to go there and back,
right. But
you know, I can't. I can only see that happening in extreme circumstances, and while he's being chased by a billion Daleks, you know.
Yeah, I just think that there's so much potential for growing the Time Lord universe if they were to allow that to come back. Like, I think they, you know, having rebooted the series. You know, under the guise of Gallifrey being gone as part of this time war, and basically, you know, isolating the Doctor as much as they had, I think is limiting. I think it limits the types of stories they can tell. And I would like to see more Time Lords introduced, whether it be old ones that they've introduced in the you know, earlier in the series, or, you know, come up with new permutations, new people coming out of. You know, coming out across that barrier, or something along those lines. I'd like to see, you know, some fresh blood in that respect. Maybe see the Master come back somehow.
Or Romana. It'd be nice.
True.
But, yeah.
So,
there's it.
Also along the lines, I did, harking back to our 50th anniversary special, I did watch The Night of the Doctor finally.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was interesting. I like how they used to tie it in the War Doctor, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think they'll ever do another short that'll show the War Doctor morphing into Eccleston?
Well, they showed the War Doctor morphing into Eccleston in the 50th anniversary special.
I don't remember that.
It happened to... Well, you weren't paying attention, apparently.
I wasn't.
It was towards the end. It was after they did the whole thing where they... You know, ushered off Gallifrey into the pocket dimension.
Right.
You know, and then the War Doctor's in his TARDIS and he starts to regenerate.
Right.
And you don't really see him turn into Eccleston per se, but you kind of see, like, they use some computer generated effects to make him look slightly more like Eccleston in the process. You know, Eccleston wanted no direct involvement in this special.
You know, it's funny because Tom Baker used to have that very same attitude from everything I've read, and now he's all about it to the point of actually showing up in the Time of the Doctor.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he'll change his mind someday.
It's so when he goes to conventions, he'll sign Doctor Who autographs. I mean, come on now. You know, he couldn't get work. Now he's old. He needs to make money.
Well, I'd like to think that he also recognizes the fact that, hey... This wasn't a flash in the pan. He didn't get pigeonholed, and it's a once in a lifetime thing to be a part of a show that is so big that when you play its main character, you are guaranteed for life to have people following you around, willing to do anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I have another question too. not to hark on Doctor Who too much, because, you know, there's a lot of other things to talk about.
We'll hark away.
But what did you guys think of the actual regeneration at the end? To me, it felt like it was really fast.
You mean into Capaldi?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was fast because it started before he even transformed. It started with them basically shooting the ships out of the sky with his regenerative energy.
True.
So it did take some time, you know, and
yeah, he did say it was just starting. He said it was just a reboot first.
Right. So, which to be fair, that's the one thing that did bug me a little bit with that episode was I understand that normally, you know, that's not uncommon. We saw it with David Tennant. There was, you know, he did some healing before he actually regenerated, and mm-hmm. Tennant managed to stretch that out forever. but
he didn't want to go.
He didn't want to go. He says that all the time. But I didn't think they needed to rewind the clock as far as they did. Like, I thought they, like, by de-aging him all the way back to, you know, the young Matt Smith, and then having him regenerate to Peter Capaldi, makes that transformation more jarring. Like, I would have preferred to see him, like, wind back maybe to his, you know, 300-year-old, or 300-year-older version, but maybe not all the way back to the young version, and then done the transformation. I don't know.
Yeah, well, just,
I'm nitpicking, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It's six of one, half dozen of another. It was just, yeah. Okay, so he got reset. Things are going to be weird because this is the 13th regeneration he's not supposed to have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the one thing that I heard somewhere pointed out is that with the now he has 13 additional or 12 additional regenerations available to him, but it's unprecedented. People haven't, you know, Gallifreyans haven't typically had that many. And we noticed this one was very violent. The last one before this was fairly violent. It's possible the energy level may keep rising with each one. I wonder if that's something they'll stick to in the storyline.
The Master has had that. The Master stole regenerations, and then they explained, like, what, six seasons ago that the Gallifreyans in the war had given him 13 more regenerations so he would fight for them, and then he took off, of course. Duh. But, stupid Gallifreyans, you know, 10 million years of evolution, smartest beings in the universe, and, oh, let's give our arch enemy 13 more regenerations. He'll fight for us, right? He'll go into danger for us.
They're bright.
Well, here's another thought then along those lines too. There's been talk, I know I've seen online, about how about a female doctor.
There's been talk about that for a while. That's not really new talk, but yeah.
So I don't know why they didn't take advantage of that, you know.
Well, there was talk about that before they announced who would be the doctor. There was a lot of rumors speculating that this next doctor would be either female or black. Obviously it turned out to be neither. But that's still always on the table. And they have the regenerations now that they can play with at some point down the road. Yeah. And I've heard, you know, I've heard both camps. I've heard some people who are against it, saying that it would, you know, take it downhill. And others are huge proponents for it, saying that it could, you know, take things in an interesting new direction with the character. So, and I've actually seen someone had gone to the trouble of actually, like, coming up with casting, like, did a gender bend on the entire run of the Doctor, like, every version of the Doctor, they came up with a female actress to fit that part.
Mm-hmm. Where would we be without fanfic?
Exactly. but, you know, it's, I don't know, I don't care. Like, I don't think the Doctor has to be any one particular thing. I'm curious to see what Capaldi is going to be like in the role. We didn't really see much of him in the end of this episode.
No.
So, and apparently we have to wait until, August before we see any more.
The only thing we know about him as a doctor is he doesn't know how to fly to TARDIS.
And yeah, but neither did Matt Smith when he regenerated.
He doesn't like the color of his kidneys.
Right. Well, I think it's a feeling of having new kidneys.
But he didn't, he said, I don't like the color. I don't know.
All right.
I know I say this almost every time he regenerates, but I don't know. Going from the younger actors to a 55-year-old actor, I mean, I have nothing against, I don't even know much about him, but I think he might be too old for the part now. I mean,
well, and maybe it's a short-lived arc. Maybe his contract is only for like a year. We don't know.
Oh, I hope not. I really, so, I, you know, even so, I would rather see him stay for 5 years.
Well, and let's throw something crazy out there, because they never played around with this idea either, right? He's the same person, and he's regenerating into a new body,
mm-hmm.
right? Why can't one of the regenerations be David Tennant? No one said, oh, can't David Tennant come back and do him
for Well, they addressed that in the 50th anniversary special in The Day of the Doctor. Like, that's what... Well, you know, at the end, at the end, when he was talking to the curator of that museum,
mm-hmm.
the curator, who was Tom Baker, you know, suggested that he may have the opportunity to revisit old faces. Right. You know, basically, which also not only opens the door for maybe him regenerating as David Tennant, but regenerating as any of the old actors who played the role, but in, you know, in their present age form or whatever, you know, so you could see a storyline where you could see others of those actors coming back and having it justified, you know, having Peter Davidson come back, but not as the fifth Doctor, but as, say, the, you know, 17th Doctor or something right. like that, you know, in some sort of crossover event that the Doctor will forget.
fortunately,
right.
Conveniently, that's the word I was convenient on.
Yeah. So yeah, there is that potential. Though I think if we ever do see David Tennant again, my thinking is, and this is actually how I thought he'd show up in this past thing in The Day of the Doctor, was the alternate human version of him from the alternate dimension, which you know nothing about, David. But yes, there is actually part of the regeneration that John had referred to where he regenerated without changing form. He also siphoned off a bunch of that regenerative power into his companion, as well as a severed hand that he had in a jar of his own from the beginning of his regeneration cycle, and which grew into a human version of him.
Which was David Tennant's way of saying, "Look, we can do a spinoff now."
Right. Yeah. No, it was basically a happy ending for Rose Tyler, of saying, "You know what? You know, we know you were in love with the Doctor. Now you can take him with you to your weird alternate version of Earth, and be in love."
John wishes that they would do that for him.
Not going to say anything.
I didn't know you were into David Tennant that much, John.
I liked him. Of course, my favorite's always going to be Tom Baker, but David Tennant was good. I liked him.
So, all right.
Anyway, so,
before John embarrasses himself,
I think we beat the Doctor to death. I did like. Yeah. I will just say one more thing. With the Time of the Doctor episode on Christmas, there was a lot of humor in it that I really enjoyed. Especially with the holographic clothing stuff. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
So,
and unfortunately, we could see that. So anyway, moving on to other movies of 2014 or geek stuff.
So the future. To the future.
Godzilla. Sorry.
I've heard of it. So
yes, I did. Have you seen the preview?
I've seen the preview. It looks interesting.
It doesn't look like the, what is it, 1985 movie, so that's got a good start there.
I thought it was in the 90s.
Was it
in the 90s? It just feels
like... I want to say early 90s.
You're not as old as you think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not that abomination. They actually seem to have honored the image of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Although I do not understand what the point of skydiving with flares is exactly. You know, I know they're air jumping in to deal with this threat somehow, but why announce your presence so clearly?
It's for the other jumpers so they can see where they can see the location of all the jumpers so they don't hit each other.
And so they know which ones get hit?
All the answers.
No, that's a real thing. A halo jump is a real thing, and that's
fair enough.
That's what
and that's doing. Part of it is the flare.
Yes.
Stream. Okay. Fair enough.
Yes, because it's you jump as far down as you can before you pull your chute. So you're
right.
You know, if you don't pull your chute, they know where your body is.
Yes. One of the interesting things, though, that I find with the casting in the new Godzilla movie is we have actors' names I'm not going to remember now. The girl, Olsen, Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, Elizabeth Olsen, yeah, and Bryan Cranston's in it too.
Right, Bryan Cranston is Elizabeth Olsen is in it married to this actor, this guy, or married to this guy, played by the guy from Kick-Ass, whose name I also don't remember, Aaron something or other.
Right, so Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Sure. So they play a couple in that movie.
Right.
They are also playing brother and sister as Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in The Avengers 2.
Well, that's going to be awkward.
Yeah. So depending on what thread of The Avengers you read, it's not that far of a stretch.
Are they from the Deep South? Is that?
No, they're from Eastern Europe in at least one of the threads.
Oh, okay, okay.
And from South Europe. Are uncomfortably close as brother and sister. So.
South Europe.
The Deep South Europe.
From the Andes Mountains or something. I don't know. So
anyway.
Yeah. So let's see. We got that. We've got Amazing Spider-Man 2. We've got, gosh, Captain America Winter Soldier. Oh, RoboCop. I mean.
We haven't talked too much about Amazing Spider-Man 2 recently.
Not too recently. But along those lines, there was actually a New Year's Eve event, which I did not watch, because I was not watching anything on New Year's Eve. So, but I know Stan Lee did some presenting on that. Did you watch it?
I didn't see it on live on TV, but yeah. I saw it online later.
Okay.
And it's it was just Stan Lee introducing a clip from the movie, which was the battle scene that takes place in Times Square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which looks really good. I mean, I like the way Electro looks in this.
Yeah, I agree. I think the way they've treated it as far as the special effects and the costuming and things like that, they've done a really good job. My only concern is the story. It seems like they're similar to what we know with the Batman versus Superman, you know, overcrowded casting. I feel, you know, with heroes, it seems like this one's getting overcrowded with villains, and I'm worried that the story may suffer as a result. But who knows? Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Or maybe they'll finally be able to get the copyright back, and then we can see Spider-Man versus the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think they set up enough in the first one to have this all make sense in the second one.
Yeah. There's too many. It's like all of a sudden they're coming out of the woodwork.
Right.
I think honestly, like, we've seen touches on some of them in the previous trailer, and maybe that's all we will see. Maybe all we'll see is references that these experiments are ongoing, but we won't actually see the characters show up. So we'll only see the two or three that we've actually seen suited up.
Right.
But who knows? Who knows? But making that transition to overcrowded casting things, we do know that they're still working on the Batman versus Superman movie, for lack of a better title. And there's been some new casting stuff related to that that's come out in the past couple weeks. For one, Denzel Washington apparently has been rumored to be attached to the project. And
really?
Right. Where initially a lot of the thoughts were when that rumor leaked is that maybe he'd be playing Lex Luthor, which that would actually be excellent. I would love to see him play Lex Luthor, because I think he could do an excellent job at that. But more recent speculation is that maybe instead they're using him to introduce the Jon Stewart version of Green Lantern, which is not as excellent in my mind.
Actually, I think that would be okay, you know?
Well,
he's a little old, I think.
I think...
Well, yeah, that's true.
Right. I think he could play the part. I just don't think that's a place for the part. I think it's... Again, they're crowding the movie with too many people and too many parts. So some of them are not going to get well developed.
Right.
And along those lines of developed characters, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has also been attached... possibly to the movie. And the two casting ideas that have been floating for him have been Doomsday or a very fit Aquaman.
Oh, man.
Not Aquaman, no.
That's like Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Well, you know, DC hasn't made a mistake like that in a while. They're due.
I mean, and I don't have an issue with, because I think he's a good actor, but to be believable as somebody who moves quickly through the water, you don't want this overly muscular guy, you know? You want someone with a swimmer's body.
Perhaps. But he's also dense.
Yeah, but I could see him as like...
He lives at the bottom of the sea.
I could see him as like Cyborg or, you know, just he just there doesn't... You go. He's not the kind of... He's not Aquaman.
Right. I'd argue that Cyborg doesn't need to be a buff guy. The actor doesn't.
No, but
the actual cybernetic parts can be built up. But yeah. You know, you can have any size character in there.
Yeah, his personality would make it work.
You know what? I agree with John. I think the Cyborg makes the most sense for him.
Maybe.
And
he's not black.
Denzel Washington as his father.
Hmm.
I don't know if there's enough of an age
gap. I don't think there's enough of an age gap there. Yeah, I think that might be cutting it a little close.
Mm.
He just had him when he was young. I don't know.
Yeah. Stereotypes, man. Playing in stereotypes there.
Whoa, wait. No. I wasn't going there.
I'm gathering from this talk that we're still looking at DC having quote-unquote real writers working on it instead of the actual comic writers.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Perhaps. I don't know if it's... I can't recall at this point who's attached writing-wise.
Let's see, Denzel Washington...
Been all over the place.
Denzel Washington's 59. And, let's see, Dwayne Johnson.
Go ahead. Look at the bright side. We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming.
It's sad when that's the bright side.
With Megan Fox. Yay!
Dave, what was the thing you sent me earlier? I'm trying to remember what that bit of news was.
I don't remember what I sent you. Oh, was it...
Getting warmer.
Okay, Transformers Age of Extinction. Come on, who wouldn't want another Transformers movie?
I would
like that to be extinct.
Well, maybe you're going to get your wish. It's called Age of Extinction. Right.
The Marvel one shot, that's what it was.
Yes. And that's, I thought this would be exciting news to John.
Yeah, so let's move to more positive, exciting news. So there is the speculation is that there is known to be a bonus short film, as there always are on these Marvel DVDs, on the upcoming Thor 2 Blu-ray. They're going to have a short Marvel one shot on there called All Hail the King. And while initial speculation was that it was possibly a short about, they know it's like 16 minutes long, and a lot of people speculated maybe it's a short about Loki and how he managed to take the throne. Someone else recently tweeted, Drew Pierce, who I assume has some connection to these things, tweeted something that might suggest that it might not actually be about Loki, but rather about the Mandarin and the whole, real Mandarin versus fake Mandarin scenario that we've talked about once or twice before.
Right, because it says in the article, he does make mention in the movie about him having a side project that he's working on.
Right.
And this could also be, you know, explaining what that side project was for the Mandarin. Or the actor.
Right.
John's favorite cinematic character of all time.
Yes. We've apparently rendered him speechless, by the way.
Apparently.
He's got no feedback.
Am I? Oh, there we are. Much better. Again, 2014, starting right. It just isn't superhero speak without technical difficulties.
Of course.
So, as I was going to say, All right. There we go. I just had to get that out.
So you're looking forward to this one shot. Is that what I'm
saying? Yes, one shot is all it will take for the real Mandarin to take out the fake.
Nice. And the truth is, the one-shots have been pretty awesome. And like, I've recently got, my wife bought me Iron Man 3 as a Christmas present because I had it on my list. And the only reason I had it on my list, not because I wanted, I like the movie, I don't need to own it, but it had the Marvel one-shot of Agent Carter on it, which I wanted to see. And I greatly enjoyed watching it. And there has, I did read something more today along those lines. There have been rumors that they might make an Agent Carter TV series, but generally speaking, those rumors are considered to be a bit over-inflated and probably not likely. But I would love to see it if they did it.
Yeah, but I'm sure a lot of those rumors get started because they were producing this one shot. And somebody involved with it said, "Oh, they're making a whole series on this," you know.
Right. Well, I think I read some article today where they, where some source was saying that the actress had, because she lived in England, was planning to move to L.A. for 6 months to record, you know, to be able to shoot a season of this new show, and because which is, it's highly speculative and probably false because of the fact that. Typically, if they are going to do a new show, first of all, the studios get those things lined up before actors and actresses are really involved. And second of all, they usually shoot a pilot before they commit to a full season.
Right.
And neither of those things have happened. So. Right.
No, that's very true. And we know that Marvel is busy with a bunch of other TV shows.
Right. And despite our love for it... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't necessarily doing phenomenally well. I mean, it's doing decently, but it's not the, you know, television blockbuster that they may have been hoping for from it. So to think that ABC would be willing to double down and do essentially a 1945 version of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Seems suspect.
Right. So give it time. I mean, as long as they don't pull a Fox and destroy it, we might get a Firefly instead of, you know, I just wouldn't want to see it killed.
You know what really would help Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is if they just made Agents of Speak the official after show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Thor without a shirt, I guess, starring. That's all.
I thought you said you wanted to help the show.
That was helped very much. I'm telling you, skyrocket the ratings.
Apparently, this is a different definition of help that I was not aware of.
What else we got?
I'm a star in my own mind.
We're just feeding it.
Yes.
Well, back down the darker path of movie rumors, and a lot of this is speculative, and a lot of it is not well-founded. But there are rumors swirling that, because they've already said this, was it Fox... You know, Fox owns the X-Men, and they also own Fantastic Four, and they've been looking into rebooting Fantastic Four. There's now rumors abound that they may actually, the reintroduction could be a crossover with Fantastic Four and X-Men. Not sure how I feel about that, though.
It seems a bit crowded. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it is built off of there's the X-Men versus... it's X-Men versus Avengers comics.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I guess recent. Along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know how they couldn't really use, like, even if they use that as a basis for a story and just left the Avengers out of it and use the Fantastic Four instead, unless they use the origin that they already wrote, they really don't have anything to build on. Like, they have a whole cohesive X-Men universe, and they don't have anything in that universe for the Fantastic Four right now. So they kind of need to boot that up first before they could really start to do some sort of versus scenario.
Right. The only way I really see
a crossover working is if they somehow tie the origin of Fantastic Four to some aid or you know, input from the X-Men.
Just have them get it over with and start doing Secret Wars.
That'd be interesting.
Well, you need the whole Marvel universe.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You need to do the Secret Wars. Basically, you know, Disney, Marvel needs everything back so that they can bring everything together.
Right.
Well, but with Secret Wars, you could have Fox do a couple of Secret Wars between, you know, those two properties, and then Marvel do with the other properties, and it wouldn't matter. And then when they
that's what movie studios do well is coordinate efforts.
Yes, well, you know,
and work well together and not competitively.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to if you use the word synergies, this
I try not to
think about it. It could work. I mean, if they cross advertised, they would both get more fans than if they just go back on their own. If they go on their own ways, you know, because the fans would love seeing a Fantastic Four movie and in the background seeing the Avengers blowing up a building, you know, just as like a hidden thing. So,
I think what happens when you do a Fantastic Four versus X-Men movie, you end up the people that are only the diehard fans of both franchises going to it. I think you end up with a less of an audience.
Well, you'd have a really interesting audience and probably security, but, you know, it would be fun to watch.
I don't know. I don't see it being successful. You know, I mean, a team up where there's a galactic threat to the Earth and, you know, possibly, but, you know, they had that opportunity with Galactus. And they blew it.
Galactus is like, talk about a plot line that doesn't go anywhere.
I think, though, I think that the problem with that movie wasn't that it was a Galactus story. I think the problem was the story. You know, they could have, there's a potential to do a good Galactus story if you do it right. And I actually felt that the way that they chose to transform Galactus into, instead of being this giant humanoid thing chomping planets, actually being this swarm, you know, type, you know, energy swarm type thing that actually consumed planets, made a lot more sense. But...
Well, a good thing Green Lantern was there to stop him. Oh, wait, that's right, that wasn't Galactus.
Again, you're crossing the streams, man. But yeah, they just, the story is what made that suffer. It just didn't come together right. It wasn't as well written as it could have been. And Doom was not Doom in either of those movies, really. Like, the characterization of Doom was neither Doom nor a believable, grounded version of him.
Right.
It just didn't come together. You know, they need to be a little truer to what Doom is, while also trying to make it realistic and believable. So,
but I think the thing that hurt that movie the most was using Lawrence Fishburne voice over Doug Jones' voice. I'm just saying. I think, you know, it would have been a much better movie if they just used Doug Jones' own voice.
Yeah, that's true.
Here, Doug. See, we're still sticking up for you. So.
Moving on to Transformers Extinction. No. No, how about Guardians of the Galaxy? Speaking of The Rock.
He's not in that.
Vin Diesel.
Oh, it's Vin Diesel. Sorry.
Vin Diesel is in the
Aren't they the voice... same person?
No. Vin Diesel is doing the voice of Groot. Bradley Cooper is doing the voice of Rocket.
Doesn't Groot say nothing but Groot or I am Groot? Or
he says Groot.
Wow, that's going to be the easiest voiceover ever.
Right. I think he does say, I am Groot. But the thing is, though, all he says is, I am Groot. But Rocket understands that he's actually saying other things and can interpret it.
It's like,
you gotta know your canon, man. So, but there's actually they released a photo earlier this week of the lineup of the five of them.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Which looks pretty cool.
Mm.
So, oh, and green aliens are hot.
Oh
god! Good thing there's no Starfleet captains around.
Speaking of Star-Lord, isn't that basically what Star-Lord is?
Star Trek, you mean?
No, I mean Peter Quill, the character.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. Oh, God. Never mind. Oh, the parallels.
Speaking of casting, I can't think of his name. Was confirmed to be Ant-Man.
Oh, right. Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, yes. That is a definite.
That is his name, yes.
It's not a rumor anymore.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, though. I like Paul Rudd. I like Edgar Wright. I like the idea of an Ant-Man movie, especially from the test footage that Edgar Wright had put together so long ago. Mm-hmm. I just don't see Paul Rudd in an action role. And maybe I'm just not able to see it. Maybe I just have to wait and see. Maybe they'll surprise me. But at the moment, I'm skeptical. I'm having difficulty seeing it.
It's going to be very subtle action.
Somewhat comic. And
Think Daredevil.
I mean, once you put the suit on him, it doesn't, you know... I think but anyone could do...
Like, other than the technology of it, what's going to drive him to do things like that? Like, I just can't picture him running around, you know, doing things like Ant-Man would do. It's, I don't know.
A lot of people said, I can't picture Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Who said that? I'll give you that. But you know, if they make it not Ant-Man, but Yellowjacket, well, then...
Even so, you know, I don't think... I don't know. Again, I'll have to see it. The thing with Heath Ledger is he's got a range. You know, Paul Rudd basically plays the same character in most of the movies he's in.
Right, which I assume that that is the script. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of personality they're going for this version of Ant-Man.
Right, which is what concerns me.
Right.
So. Can I... yeah. Go. I've got a few questions for you guys, actually.
Okay.
Do you want to answer right now?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm looking at blurbs about movies. Let's see. There's Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Fantastic Four, Black Panther, The Amazing Spider-Man 4, which mm-hmm. starts off with Peter Parker is stunned when his young wife is killed by a mysterious villain calling himself Dr. Octopus. Then you've got X-Force and Doctor Strange. Anybody hear anything about those?
I've only heard that Doctor Strange and Black Panther were supposed to be in the works further down the slate, but I haven't heard anything about timing or casting on either of those. I was not aware that they were actually working on an X-Force movie. That's news to me. If they are. I do know that I've heard that the follow-up to the current X-Men, you have X-Men Days of Future Past coming up. The next one after that is supposed to be X-Men Apocalypse.
Right.
Cool.
But this Amazing Spider-Man 4?
That seems to be jumping the gun a little bit, because there's supposed to be a 3 in there somewhere.
There's a 3 slated for 2016 and 4 slated for 2018.
Okay.
But that's
That may be how things are slated right now. I think you have to sort of take that with a grain of salt, you know, because it's going to be very dependent on the success of 2 and how that does and how people receive that. You may see both 3 and 4 altered somehow to feedback.
Mm. There's actually a rumor floating around that they want to do a Sinister Six movie, but without Spider-Man in it.
I don't see how that works, though.
I don't see how that works either.
Like, what's the pathos there? Like, what do you, you know, what are we watching in that? You know, who are we rooting for?
We're all angry at Spider-Man. Let's go attack this other guy.
I mean, I've also heard, they're also potentially doing a Venom spinoff, mm-hmm. which that I can see. I could see them doing the whole symbiote saga as a separate thing, maybe not even tethered to Spider-Man at all.
Right.
But the Sinister Six, I just don't see how that's, you know, without a hero that they're up against, it doesn't make sense.
No, I agree.
So
why would they? It's just like, okay, well, these six guys are going to take over the world. That's your movie.
Yeah.
They kill Spider-Man in the first 5 minutes.
Great.
I don't know.
Eventually Disney will buy them out and fix everything.
All right, well, eventually Disney will own everything. So.
Yes, along the lines of Disney owning everything, supposedly Disney now has the Star Wars comic licensing, and they're shifting it from Dark Horse over to Marvel.
Yes, that was the big news that actually came out today.
Yep.
Yeah, that after 20 years, Dark Horse no longer will be making the Star Wars comic books, that Marvel will be taking it over again, because Big Brother Disney went, oh, nope, we own this, and we own this, so you guys can't do this anymore.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, they started out at Marvel back in 1977. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
The only reason that they stopped making them was the comics stopped selling, you know. And back then in the 80s, it was easier to say, this only is selling 30,000 copies every month, so we need to drop this title, you know.
Yeah. Well, they stopped selling after the Star Wars Christmas special, so, you know.
Yeah, I think that might have something to do with it.
I mean, what are you trying to say? They don't have Christmas in you know,
don't
Tatooine?
Even go there. Don't. Yeah, yeah.
You're saying that the birth of Jesus Christ hasn't reached out to them in the form of Santa bringing presents?
Yeah. Well, it was also a long time ago, so
yes.
It was probably before the birth of Christ.
That's true.
So how could they have Christmas at all? It makes no sense.
I'm not touching this with a 10-foot pole.
In their world, I picture Santa being part of the Hutt family.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a lot to swallow that one. So,
perfect.
So back to Godzilla.
Yes, what about Godzilla?
Anything about Godzilla, please. Just wipe that image of Hutt from my going down a chimney.
You can't picture him in a red hat with a beard and
no.
Slithering down your chimney?
No, I can't.
No.
But he wants to slither down your chimney.
Yeah. So, Winter Soldier, come on, let's go.
I did read something about that today, actually. There's I think director or writer from that was talking about how Captain America doesn't really have an arc in this movie. He's just sort of the center of action, so to speak. Which is, I'll be interested to see how that looks, because it looks like a good movie so far from this footage I've seen. And it looks like there's a decent story there. And if there's enough story around him, I guess he doesn't really need one. But, that's sort of... We've talked a lot about that being important and central to the success of a movie, that there has to be some sort of arc for the main character for it to feel right.
Well, there's got to be an arc, because we know who the Winter Soldier is, and it directly affects him.
Right, but the question is, does it? Like, maybe it doesn't. Like, it may affect him in the realization of it, in the information of it, but it may not change him. It may not change who he is or how he deals with the world.
Well, or could it be there is a personal story that goes on for him in the movie, but then there's a bigger overarching story that's leading up to Avengers 2, you know, the start of that, and that's, you know... Is that what they really mean?
I don't know.
Because it doesn't make sense to say, you know, we have a Captain America movie, but without Captain America, we still have a movie.
Well, the co-writer, Christopher Marcus, said he doesn't really have an arc. That's what he said.
Well, it doesn't matter, because in a movie that has Colby Smulders, Emily Van Camp, and Scarlett Johansson in it, who needs an arc?
Well, actually, speaking of arcs... Did you ever hear the
you should be careful how you pair your words.
Did you ever hear...
Listen to the actresses and then saying, speaking of arcs.
Somebody pointed this out once.
Okay.
It was actually pointed out in the Big Bang Theory, and then when I thought about it, I'm like, oh my god, it's right. Raiders of the Lost Ark. That movie, that story still would have taken place without Indiana Jones.
Yeah, he basically didn't do anything.
Exactly. He doesn't really have an arc in that movie.
He had no impact.
Right. They would have found the Ark. They would have all been killed.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair fact, if Indy had stayed out of that, out of those matters altogether, everything would have happened the same. Plus, Marion would have still had her bar.
Yes. The only difference is the U.S. government wouldn't currently have the Ark hidden somewhere.
But maybe they would. Who knows?
Well, that's true. They could have found that
out. Who knows would have stumbled upon it after the events of that.
Yes. So, see, you can still have a great movie without the main character having an arc.
Right. But the thing is, and the reason I point that out is, you know, it may be understating it. He may have some development and some arc to it. Mm-hmm. But it also could be interesting to see how it works if he really doesn't have an arc, and yet it still is a stands up well. Then it could be a decent model for, you know, the common problem with Superman movies is that they've always tried to have some sort of arc for Superman, some sort of development of character for him, that it's difficult for him being the, you know, the impenetrable Boy Scout that he is, you know, but if he doesn't need one, if the story can be about the people in the world around him, and the development of those, then it could be a solid story.
Like the development of Batman and Wonder Woman and Green Lantern all around him?
Well, or the villains.
And the multiple villains go along.
I mean, because if you look at the 1989 Batman movie, that's what that was. That was not a Batman development story. That was a Joker development story.
Right. Same thing with Batman Returns. It was a Penguin story.
Yeah.
And a Catwoman. And right.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It was more about them than it was about Batman.
Yeah. I mean, the origin, Batman's origin's told real quick. I mean, you know, he starts out the movie as Batman.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. Movies that we consider good. Well, maybe not Batman Returns, but aren't necessarily about the hero.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So Captain America looks like it'll be good.
We shall see.
It should be.
Well, we got 4 months, so we'll find out on March 4th or April 4th.
Yeah. What do we do till then?
Well, there's a show on ABC that is about the agents of this company called S.H.I.E.L.D.
I've heard of this ABC you speak of.
Yes, and then afterwards, there's this really great show on YouTube called Agents of Speak that you should be watching.
I've heard there's other shows I should be watching.
So, well, I think everyone out there should be tuning into those two shows while they're waiting for Winter Soldier. Which,
fair enough.
There is going to be a tie-in to that show, you know, for this as well, so.
I'm certain there will be.
Yeah. The last rumor I heard is actually good. It's going to be before the movie. I don't know if that's true or not.
So some sort of reveal leading up to the movie?
Right.
Or it's just them on the way to sweep up the place? Or
no, Steve Rogers will be walking around the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, and Coulson will be visiting, and Coulson will be ducking him.
Oh, God.
Do you think their plane could land on the helicarrier?
Sure, why not?
Oh, yeah.
It's a giant flying aircraft carrier, of course.
It's going to be the story of how he gets a restraining. It's not the aircraft carrier
that's the problem. Do they have a name for that plane? I can't remember if they have a name for the plane. I mean, I guess it can do vertical takeoff and landing, so I should be able to land on it.
Yeah, it's got those funky engines that turn, so come on, you can land anywhere. So, it can hover, for Christ's sake. How many airplanes can hover?
Well, he has a car that can hover, too, so there.
Exactly. The plane doesn't even have to land on the helicarrier. He could just take Lola.
Lola, that's true.
Yeah, see? And just run away from Steve Rogers for an hour. John's looking forward to that episode.
Yeah, the story of how Captain America took out a restraining order against the agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's how they introduced She-Hulk as a lawyer to
See, now you're getting somewhere.
All right.
But it don't just do not go to Hulk Agents of Hulk or whatever. I just
Agents of Smash.
Smash, whatever.
You don't want to see a primetime version of that?
Oh, please. never mind. So, I just
speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., real quick, since we're getting pretty close to the end, any predictions for the upcoming premiere?
I don't have any predictions per se, but there is actually a clip that I saw earlier today that shows like the first minute or two of the of the episode.
I haven't seen that yet.
And it looks pretty interesting. It's worth watching. But yeah, I don't know. And I also saw some teaser pictures, one of which showed, and I'm not sure if this is for this immediate episode or if it's for the next episode, but it showed Coulson in Lola, which I don't know. I kind of expect it to take more than one episode for them to track him down.
Hmm.
But maybe it won't.
What are you talking about? They're not going to have to track him down. They're going to get there, and he's going to be sitting on a pile of bodies, just looking at him going, what took you so long? It's only Agent Coulson, for crying out loud.
But not until we find out more about the magical place.
Oh, true.
But yes. But again, though, like, how long can you go on with a show where your lead character is missing and you're trying to find him?
I'm trying to think of precedent for that.
How bad are the writers?
But my point, though, is if you have a show, you know, it's a trope that I think is overdone sometimes, where, like, you have an outro where you have a break in the season, or at the end of a season, where someone's in peril. And then, in the first 5 minutes of the return, that peril is dissolved. It just feels wasted. Like, that suspense is wasted.
Right.
That, you know, they created that suspense. Draw it out. Let it take time. Let it be difficult. And I think that's one thing that I think if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wants this to be good and wants to continue to be interesting, then they need to consider that. That if we see, like, some snippets of what the magical place is, that what the real truth behind Tahiti is, but not all of it, because they break in halfway through the episode and save him, and you know, leave us still wanting more there, I think that they were lazy, if that's what they give us.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think... Yeah, no, because I don't want it to keep going on forever either, you know, like... Yeah, let's find out, you know, what really happened in Tahiti. But I don't want the reveal to be that he's Vision either. I just think that would be like, oh, come on. Now I don't want to watch this show anymore because I know he should be in the Avengers and that's it.
Right. It doesn't have to be that, but it could be something else. So
this he's the 14th Doctor. That's what it is.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So this episode will have posted after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. airs.
Yes.
So
go back in time and watch our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. live.
So will we have recorded that live?
Yes.
For our normal plan, or were we planning on changing that up?
Well, considering this is part of the episode, no, we haven't made any other plans yet, so as of right now we're recording live. As usual.
So hopefully you enjoyed that yesterday.
Enjoyed that yesterday.
And if you didn't happen to see it live, feel free to go to our YouTube channel and watch it after the fact.
Yes, just look for Superhero Speak and you'll find all your video dreams will come true.
There's other
not
things
those video dreams. Not those dreams, the other dreams.
The clean video dreams.
Yes.
Seeing, you know, a bunch of dorks talk about a TV show. We know you love that.
Okay, actually, maybe the other dreams are better.
All right, gentlemen. Well, on that note, I think this is a good place to put a pin in it.
I agree.
Unless
I know you... I want to put a pin somewhere.
Yes. Well, you're going to rag over to YouTube to take care of that. So... On that note, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you can also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John. You can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com. And if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.